200 this year. Has just in any way, shape, or form helped, was able to come. In 2015, we did about 100 shoeboxes, a little over 100. We did almost 191. And so, praise the Lord. Thank everyone. Thank Tori and Sarah. I want you to think about your son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, and how much you love them, and think that 191 of God's children all over the world would be getting boxes because of what we were able to do, praise the Lord. And so I am so thankful for that. So we are in now week 5 of our 7 weeks on being all in. If you're a guest or haven't been here, these sermons are on our website. You can go catch up, but I'll recap real quick this morning. We are spending 7 weeks reminding ourselves that we are to be all in, fully devoted, losing our lives, losing ourselves for others and for the kingdom, disciples of Jesus Christ. And really, I don't think there's any other thing. I don't think we can kind of follow Jesus. I don't think we can kind of be a Christian. I think that we are either His or we are not. And He wants us to be His because He loves us. And so we're spending 7 weeks talking about this. And Jesus reminded us that we're going to lose our lives anyway. Unless He returns, you and I are going to die, right? I don't find that more, but I find hope in that because of what Jesus did for me. I find assurance, and that's how I find purpose in that. I find understanding about my own life and my own feebleness and mortality, and so, and especially the feebleness of these bodies. And Jesus said, you're going to lose your lives anyway. The only way to save them is to lose them for my sake. That's what Jesus tells us. And to me, that means being all in. And so we spent a few weeks talking about and reminding ourselves that if we're not careful, the good things in our life, our blessings, our family, our relationships, our money, all these things can become idols if we're not careful. And the very things that God has blessed us with tend at times to become more important to us than the very God who gave them to us. And that's something we need to be careful about. We've talked about the fact that there are things in life, even daily, that test our devotion to the Lord. It's fear that keeps us from going all in. We've talked about Abraham being willing to sacrifice Isaac. And that for us, on a daily basis, and sometimes at these big moments in life, there are things we need to sacrifice and be willing to put down on the altar. There are things we need to be willing to let go of for the sake of building God's kingdom and because of our love for Him. We talked about the rich young ruler. We talked about Elisha. We talked about how sometimes we need to let stuff go and kiss something goodbye. If you weren't here last week, we talked about Noah. Everybody knows Noah's Ark, right? We talked about the fact that Noah, for 120 years, day in and day out, was obedient to God and faithful to God. Think of how far off that ark was from when he started. Think about how the fact that he was in a desert, it had never rained, but daily he was obedient and faithful to God. And so for your life, what that means is, guys, you've got to start with being obedient to God and His Word. You've got to be faithful to Him. You've got to trust that the prayers, if they're unanswered, there's a purpose and a plan. You've got to understand it's about a bigger picture that your mind can't even wrap around your life and your existence. It's about eternity. All the good in your life, all the blessings, all the suffering, all the challenges, one day will all make sense only because of Jesus Christ. Only because of what God has promised us and the plan that He has for us. And we need to remember that and remember that He is worth living all in devoted lives for. So today, week 5 of 7, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. But first, we're going to talk about wrestling for a second. I grew up watching wrestling. If you still watch wrestling, I roll my eyes to you. But I understand it's real. I know, you're right. It's real and it's a sport. Okay. But I grew up watching it. And so today, we're going to talk very briefly about a wrestler named Yusuf the Terrible Turk. Look at that monster. He was a wrestler in the late 1800s, and he was a European guy. He weighed over 300 pounds. He looks pretty lean to me, but he was a monster. Now, I was growing up, more of a Macho Man Randy Savage guy. Pastor Dan's older than I am, so he was a King Kong Bundy guy, he said. Come to find out, in Hoopston a couple weeks ago, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, was at our high school. You want to know how I knew that? I was going up there that day for something unrelated, and we're in danger. The Bible says that if we're not rich towards God, what do we really have? If we're not storing up treasures in heaven, but we're so focused on this world, we're in trouble. And Jesus' message back then, as it is today, is countercultural. Because the American way of life, and I love America, it's my country, but it doesn't always line up with God's ways. Because the American way of life is get the most you can, follow your heart, do what you want, it's your life, make as much as you can, do as much as you can, life's short, have fun. And God's way is so different, isn't it? The way of following Jesus is to put God first, to obey His word even when it's tough, to put others ahead of yourself. What is more un-American than that? Put others ahead of yourself. Think of others first. Sacrifice yourself. Sacrifice your stuff. Sacrifice your finances for others. 2/3 of all of Jesus' parables deal with money. They do. And so this sermon's not about money. It's about the heart, but money's part of the subject. Because if we're going to spend 7 weeks talking about being devoted to Jesus, we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't spend one Sunday dealing with that subject. I guarantee you, you care about your money or lack thereof. Think about this. The financial, can we go back, please, about the financial principles in God's Word? The financial principles found in God's Word are not a set of arbitrary rules to restrict, shame, or even govern us, as much as they are a loving Father's wisdom to His children who must listen, trust, and obey Him. And that's all of God's Word. But it's money as well. I will sometimes have people be like, I'm good with the Bible, I'm good, but that the giving the money, I'm like, what? You want to know where your heart is, open your checkbook. And that applies to me, that applies to you. Am I honoring God with my first fruits? Am I thinking of others first? Am I giving to other good causes in the name of Jesus ahead of me having all of the nicest, newest, everything? So here's what happens here. Jesus gets interrupted. And he gets asked to step into these two brothers' disagreement over an inheritance. And what this guy wanted to do was, because he was asking Jesus to ask his brothers, I'm assuming he was the younger brother because the older child always got all the inheritance. And Jesus says, instead of making a legal judgment, I'm going to make a moral judgment, knowing that the feud between these two brothers was symptomatic of the sins of the human heart. And so much stuff in our life that isn't as it should be is not about that. It's about our heart. This sermon is not about money. It's about your heart. It's about my heart. And there are three sins that we all struggle with, and don't tell me you don't, because you do and I do. And let's start with number one, which is pride. Pride comes in all different ways, shapes, and forms. But in this case, it was the fact that the rich man in this parable who was going to build more barns, and you know, if you're thinking that doesn't apply to you, he was going to do more stuff, have more fun, buy more stuff, get more things, do more of what he wanted and planned on. He has an eye problem. If you read this passage, he says I over and over and over and over. It's all his money. It's all his stuff. It's all what he's done. It's all what he's going to do. There's no gratitude. The focus is on himself. And you need to ask yourself, is your focus on you in your life? Do you talk about yourself a lot? Do you talk about what you've done? Or do you give God the glory and the credit? Because if you focus on yourself, you will not give God credit for things he has done. And make no mistake. Do not be deceived. My brothers and sisters, every good thing comes from God. The ability to work, the ability to have, what you get, what you do. Well, it's because I've worked hard and made the right choices. Great, God gave you the ability to do that. That's His grace. He gave you life. He gave you your intelligence. He gave you your skill. He gave you all of these things. And let me tell you what we do, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. Dan, I blame your music equipment. I don't know. Hey, see, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget God's goodness. And the fact that, and this happens especially in life as we are blessed more, as we advance, or if we get more, or good things happen, we forget that it all comes from God and it's all a blessing from Him. Luke 12:16, it says, then He spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. This guy's not condemned for being rich. It's good and okay to have. And as a matter of fact, as we honor God, as we honor Him with our first fruits, and as we give sacrificially, the Word says, and I can testify, and I believe that He blesses. So it's not wrong to have. This guy's not condemned for being rich or getting wealth honestly. Matter of fact, the Bible promotes hard work. It promotes these kinds of things, having hard work and being blessed. And if God blesses us, it's simply so that we can be a blessing to others. The problem here is that this guy didn't see the hand of God. He only saw his own efforts. There's a story about a pastor who visits this rich oil man in Texas, and he goes and visits him, and the guy says, look, he goes, look, pastor, you look that way, you see all of my herds and all of my animals, and if you look that way, you see all of my oil wells and all of my stuff, and if you look this way, you see my house and my ranch and my cars and my buildings, and if you look this way, you see all the beautiful streams and the trees and the pasture fields, and look at all four directions, how I have got so much and have worked so hard and amassed so much. And he stops so the pastor could be impressed, and the pastor says, well, hey, how you doing in that direction? And the guy looks at him and says, I never really thought about it. Let me ask you this morning, as you live your life, and I know you're busy, and I know that we have a lot going on these days, but how much do you think about heaven? How much do you think about, are you storing up treasures in heaven? How much do you think about, as opposed to just, we may always make sure the checkbook is balanced and the bills are paid, and those are good things. Are you thinking about God's grace? Are you thinking about storing up treasures in heaven? Are you thinking about eternity? Are you thinking about working for the kingdom to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or do you at times have too much of the focus on yourself? Because if you have too much of the focus on yourself, you'll make plans that leave God out. As you are praying, as you are planning, as you are living, are you praying to the Lord and are you thinking about what He would have you do and what would please Him? And as opposed to this, I'm going to do this, this, and this, sometimes thinking about, what if I did this? How would this bless someone? How would this bring God glory? How would this show that I belong to Jesus? Look in 17 and 18 as this guy is telling the story about his barns. What shall I do? This is what I'll do. Me, me, me. We live in a me, me, me society, don't we? But as followers of Jesus, are we supposed to be different? Listen, we talked real briefly in Sunday school this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus, sometimes you got to tell yourself no. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to buy this. I'm not going to say this. No is a good thing. Stop focusing on yourself and focus on others. Because this guy right here, the guy who had and was getting more and was doing really well, I think he was confused because he's not an owner of anything. You and I aren't owners of anything, are we? We're stewards. It all belongs to God. We came into this world with nothing, and believe me, we will leave with nothing. Now, that doesn't mean go blow it all. It's about perspective. It's about the fact that it's not mine, it's the Lord's. And God's okay with us enjoying and having and doing as long as we're giving and giving and serving and serving. Because we will die with nothing, and then what? If we're not rich towards God, then what? Our life is not our own anyway. It is His. If you focus on yourself, your resources will be spent on yourself. Now, we have to spend resources on ourselves. That's part of living and et cetera. But let's talk about our focus. As long as we're honoring God with our first fruits and giving, and here, listen, seasons are different here. For some, honoring and obeying God, that 10%, that tithe is tough. But for some, you know, we got to go beyond that because we can. And we want to because we love the Lord. Luke 12:19 says this. Luke 12:19 says, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. I don't think that's the attitude that we should live with. Because this guy here was only concerned with the physical side of life. He was young, had a good job, he was in good health, he was in control of his fate. Let me say this right here, and this is an okay statement if you're living for Jesus. You're not in control. There's seasons where we really are. It's all smooth and fun and games and easy, but we're not in control. We believe that God is sovereign. We believe that God is in control and works all things together for good. And although our choices do affect our destinies, we're ultimately not in control. The Lord is. And so when we understand that, we say to ourselves, then what am I here for? What am I doing? What's the focus of my life? What's my purpose? What's my plan? Are your resources and talents and gifts and blessings for you to consume or for you to use to build God's kingdom? We do consume a lot of them, and we will, and that's okay. But our focus should be, am I making a difference? What am I doing to help build God's kingdom? If I keeled over today, what can I say I have done? What treasures have I stored up in heaven? What and whom have I invested in? I think that's so important to think about. Because when we focus on ourselves, we store our treasures in the wrong place. And we have to ask ourselves this morning, this sermon's not about money, it's about us being able to ask ourselves, where's my heart? What am I really focusing on? What will I have considered a win with my life if it all ends today? Will I have invested in the kingdom? Will I have invested in others? Will I have given up? Will I have denied myself? Will I have served God and done what He wanted me to do? Verse 20 says, then God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then what about all those things? And it's not wrong to have things again, but it's wrong for them to be our focus, for them to be our priority. And the fool, when we hear this word fool in biblical language, this is not referring to intelligence, okay? This is referring to spiritual apathy. And if you're spiritually apathetic this morning, you're probably hearing this and you're not real interested in it. And if that's where you find yourself, you need to get on your knees. You need to humble yourself before God. You need to pray about your heart, about the desires of your heart. This man had been a practicing atheist. He wasn't recognizing God. He was focusing on himself. Here's what I've done, and here's what I will do, and here's my focus, and I will eat, drink, and be merry, and I'll focus on myself, and I'll do these things. And as Christians, we're not supposed to be that concerned with this life. We're supposed to be storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't get to, and where thieves don't destroy, and where nothing can ever take away. How are you in your life, with how you live, storing up treasures in heaven? By being faithful, by serving the Lord, by being obedient, by giving, by serving. Again, this is not about money. It's, are you storing up treasures in heaven? And sometimes when we focus too much on ourselves, we can be in conflict with God's purposes for our life. You know, we all have different purposes, different callings, different occupations, you know, whether it's career, whether it's family, raising a family, whether you're retired right now, whatever season you're at in life, you still should not have the focus primarily on yourself. It should be on living a life that glorifies and pleases God. It says in verse 21, it says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." We need to be living lives that are rich towards God. It's not wrong to have, it's not wrong to make, it's not wrong to do, it's not wrong, but it's wrong when we're not rich towards God. And I find that money has one big problem for all of us. It has zero purchasing power in eternity. And so therefore, let's talk about that for a moment, that pride was not only this guy's only sin, he also had an issue with greed. There's our second one, pride and greed. The third one is hoarding. We'll get there pretty quick. Greed. These two brothers were fighting over an inheritance, and they were both in the crowd. Go back to verses 14 and 15. He said to him, Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said, "Beware of greed, for your life is not about what you have." Beware of greed. Your life is not about what you have. See, these guys didn't have an inheritance problem. They had a greed problem. And now we're going to talk about two things real quick with a greed problem that's going to make some of us here today uncomfortable, I promise you. But it needs to be said. Number one, the problem with greed is this. Those guys both wanted something they hadn't earned. We have a problem with this in our society and in our culture. People want things they haven't earned. We have an entitlement problem. Free everything. They wanted something they hadn't earned. And I want you to think about if you're here today and you have people in your life, it could be kids, it could be other people, maybe they have a substance problem, maybe they have a spending problem or a money problem or a lifestyle problem, and I want you to listen to this. If they're in your life and they don't live godly lives, but you're giving to them, you are only subsidizing their estrangement from God. You are subsidizing their estrangement from God if you continue to enable ungodly lives. They wanted something they hadn't earned. The second thing here that's uncomfortable is they were both willing to sacrifice their relationship for the sake of possessions and money. Now, there's all kinds of reasons why people are estranged. I do too many funerals where people don't like and haven't talked to for years their family members. But money is a big one. And I'm going to take this from out of the world and into the church and into us as a group of believers. There is nothing that should estrange you from other believers. Because let me assure you, if you're both following Jesus, both of you will forgive. If you're both following Jesus, you will both forgive. And money and things that were said or things that were done, you will get over it. The Bible says the grace that we give people is the grace we're going to get. And so money, possessions, things like that should never divide believers. We have to ask ourselves, and you have to ask yourself this morning, are possessions more important than people in your life? Let me tell you, God wants us to work hard. But if you're working so hard and so much, you're neglecting your family or neglecting people or neglecting missing church all the time, I don't believe that's of God. I don't. Now, sometimes it happens. We work. Things happen. God understands that. But it's about your heart and it's about what you're consistently doing or not doing. It's not wrong to be rich. It's wrong to not be rich towards God. It's not wrong to have. But I'm going to tell you something. If we love Jesus and we have, we'll be generous. It'll just be who we are. Not just our money, but our time, ourselves. We'll be generous with our grace. That's right there with money. Be generous with your grace. Because if you know Jesus, you're going to be generous with your grace as well. So how do we push back on greed? Here's the magic pill, and we'll get to hoarding. We push back on greed with contentment. We push back on greed with contentment. I believe that as I have lived my 40 years, we're less content than we used to be. And one of the problems with human nature is the more we get, the more we want. How many of you could rewind to where you got a raise, and if I could make this much more, then I'd pay everything off, and I bet you haven't paid everything off yet. I bet you just got more. That's not good English, but sorry. The Bible says this. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. So if you're content with food and clothing, raise your hand. No, don't do it, liars. Don't raise your hand. If you were going to raise your hand, sell your car, sell your iPad, sell your devices, get rid of it, cancel the vacation. None of these things are wrong to have and to do. But I'm saying God is telling us we should really be much more content. Food and clothing. Nobody here is starving. Everybody's got clothes on. Thank you. It's just about our general demeanor. We should probably be more content. Because I struggle with this at times. I struggle with being content. I did this last night. It was like 7 o'clock and I was hungry and I don't know what time it was. And I'm like, I could have just ate something at home. We had food, but I really wanted a sandwich. So I went to Subway and spent $11. It's probably kind of a waste. I really could have just eaten at home. So, I mean, God understands that we struggle with contentment, but we need to be honest with ourselves about why we're not content. Because it's usually not a money issue. A lot of times in marriage, we blame our spouses when really the issue is us. They're very easy to blame. We need to focus on our heart, and if we're not content, why we're not. And a lot of times it does have to do with greed. We want more. We want to do more and have more. You want to have more of the substance. You want to have more of the sex. You want to have more of the relationships. You want to have more channels. You want to have more of this and more and more and more, and you're not content. And that does tend to snowball. The third and final one is hoarding. And you don't have to have $1 million in the bank to be guilty of hoarding. Jesus talks about in the parable of the talents, he warns us against hoarding our talents, about hoarding our time, about hoarding things and using and consuming all that he's blessed us with for ourselves and forgetting about others and forgetting about the church and forgetting about those in need. The rich man here decided to build bigger barns for all of his stuff. He's not all in for others or for the world or for the poor or for the lost. He's all in for himself. And listen to this next statement and be real. You need to be real about the fact that as long as, if you're in a situation this morning, that as long as your life is going okay, you're not really all that concerned about others. That's a dangerous place to be in. As far as lost people getting saved, hungry people getting fed, and on and on and on. If as long as things are okay with you, it's not too much on your radar, I would encourage you to get on your knees and repent of feeling that way. In 2014, so just 2 short years ago, according to Gallup, the gap between what we save and what we give in America is as wide as it's ever been. And we're still the most generous nation on earth. And don't listen to the media. Christians are generally the most generous people on earth. We give because Jesus commands us to, because he modeled it for us. But that gap in the last couple years is as big as it's ever been, and that shouldn't be for us. So how do you push back on hoarding? You push back with generosity. If you have a lot of extra time, you'll find time to serve. You'll find time to pray. If you have a lot of extra money, you'll find things to give it to that help build the kingdom. I'm not asking for money today. It's not what we're here for. It's about our hearts. And I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not going to overshare our business. We don't stop at 10%. Oh, 10%, I'm done. We try to do what we can. And not everybody needs to know about everything that we do or that you do for good. That's what Jesus said. Don't do your good to be seen before men. Do it to please the Lord. We push back on hoarding with generosity. We push back on the hoarding of our own wants. I want this and I want to do that. Here's how I feel. You give that away. You give that up as a follower of Jesus. I want to please God. I want to do what the Word says. I want to honor God with my life, with my money, with my body, with my time. That's what we want to do. So ask yourself, your life, your blessings, your gifts, your resources, the breath in your lungs, the time you have, the time you've had, the time you think you're going to have, are you honoring God with that? Are you really concerned with building up the kingdom, with storing treasures in heaven? Or is it just consume, 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 I, me, me? It's the question that this is about today. It's the question this is about. I'll tell a story about my 7-year-old son, Isaiah. We were listening to some football yesterday, and we were listening to the Indiana-Michigan football game. And if you guys don't know this, I'm a lifelong Michigan fan. Love Michigan, love just that's my college team. And so we're listening to the game, and he starts, Michigan blocked a punt, and he starts booing because he's like, we're rooting for Indiana, right? I'm like, well, why would we root for them, Isaiah? He goes, because they're closer, right? We should root for Indiana. And I looked at him and I said, buddy, we're Michigan fans. Always have been. That's who we root for. And just like that, he goes, okay, we're Michigan fans. Go Michigan. Let me tell you why I told that story, because the people that are always talking about their kids. Here's why I tell that story. You, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you, believer in the workplace, you, follower of Jesus, have a great amount of influence with how you live your lives and what you do and how you spend and what you say. And this is especially true for parents. He just took it. Okay, I'm a Michigan fan. So now what if I at home am like, hey, kids, hey, son, we're Christians. We're followers of Jesus. We honor God first with all that we get. You honor God first when grandma sends you Christmas money. You honor God first with your time. We pray in the morning, in the evening, and at devotion time. And we spend time in the Word. And we're followers of Jesus. And we're supposed to think of others before ourselves. And when you're mad at someone, you're supposed to forgive them. And you're supposed to let it go. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. What if we just lived and talked that way to those within our sphere of influence? What an incredible impact we will have. And parents, I really am kind of especially talking to you here. They're listening, they're watching. What if we just really live for Jesus? What if we really were that concerned with storing up treasures in heaven instead of get more, spend more, do more? And let me ask you this, as God blesses you with good health and with more, and you are intelligent, as you work hard, as you get promoted, are you concerned with what, how much more you can have, or with leveraging it and using it for the Lord and to build up the kingdom? Because I believe that I'm saved, but I will one day answer for what I do with the talents that God has given me. And the resources that God has given me. I have to honor Him with those, and so do you. So let me ask you this morning, would you stand with me and bow your heads this morning? We're going to close with a song. First of all, does Jesus have your heart? Are you surrendered to Him? Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ? If you have, He will get your talents. He will have your heart. He will get your resources. My question for you today is, what's holding you back from being all in? What's holding you back from storing up treasures in heaven and being rich towards God? Are you just consuming your life away, or are you really working to help build the kingdom and to build His church and to reach the lost? And don't think, again, this sermon was about money, because it's not. It's about your loyalty. It's about your heart. It's about your devotion. It's about who you and what you live for. It's about, do you live what you say you are and what you say you believe? And do people that are around you and that come in contact with you know that? Let's bow our heads and pray as we prepare to sing. Heavenly Father, I pray now in Jesus' name as we sing this song to you, that Lord, as we stand here today, we would be prayerful and we would be serious, Heavenly Father, about how we're leveraging our lives and how thankful we are for the gifts and how thankful we are for what you've blessed us with, and that we realize it is yours. And our soul could be required of us this day. We do not know. But we know we need to be living lives, Lord, that even in the plans of life and even in the joy of life and this wonderful holiday season and so many good blessings you've blessed us with, we need to be constantly mindful and prayerful about us storing up treasures in heaven and being rich towards you, by loving and serving others, by realizing our very lives, our stuff, it is not ours. And we don't need to hold that tightly to it. We need to say, Lord, how do I use my resources? How do I use this day, this life, to serve you, to serve your kingdom, to reach the lost, to serve your church? You tell us the grace we give is the grace we'll get. We need to be grace givers. We need to be generous. We need to have, Lord, of all people on planet Earth, joy that exudes our life, joy and thankfulness to you. Lord, I pray that those here this morning would also ask themselves as we, Lord, respond and as we sing, how often do we use the word thankful? How often do we use the word blessed? How often do we give you glory? How often are we thinking about how good you've been to us, even at times when times are tough? Help us to think that, Lord, even when times are tough, without your promises and without your hope, where would we be? And Lord God, I pray that this thankfulness, Lord, would show that we are all in followers of you, that we are rich towards you, that that would shine through our lives. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.